I'm going to ask this morning for those of you who have a favorite passage of Scripture to stand where you are, and we're going to bring you a microphone, and I'm going to ask you to read that passage. What I want you to do is tell us what the passage is, give us a few minutes to find it in our own Bible, and then you go ahead and read it. I'm going to ask the ushers to bring you a microphone when I identify you, and I'm going to ask the ushers not to surrender the microphone, for this will not be an opportunity for preaching today. This is an opportunity for reading of the Word of God. Now, you may make a brief reference, if you like, to why this passage is important to you. But if you go to preaching on the passage, unless the Lord quickens that to me, I'll shut that off, because what I believe the Lord wants us to do tonight or today is just share the Scripture, just share the Word of God. There's life in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive and it's filled with power. Now, I wouldn't be surprised at what the Lord will do here today. Now, those of you who came to hear somebody preach the message, don't you go away disappointed, because God knows that you're here today. He knew that you were coming, and He planned this service for you. If you will listen, God will speak to you through the red word. Amen. And so I need two ushers. Let me have two ushers. All right, brother, here's a brother in the back row. Zachary, you take the microphone to this gentleman. I want you to hold it up close to his mouth, but don't give it to him.
Yeah, I'm a salesman. That's very wise.
Just hold it where he can speak into
it. If you join with me with Proverbs 3:5-7, I think this can from Pastor Vic's word to start today, too.
Repeat that passage again, sir.
Proverbs 3:5-7.
Okay.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil.
Amen.
Just basically, I just like to say that every morning when I awake, I submit unto the Lord that day to be usable for him as he sees fit, and let him know that he is the Lord of my life and I am but his servant. And I turn everything over to him and let him guide. And when I do that for the day, my day is blessed. When I take control, I screwed up.
Amen. Okay, Zachary, let's see. We have somebody over here. Here's somebody standing over here. Take that to Mrs. White. Yeah, just raise your hand or stand, and then I'll recognize you. Come on out to the aisle, Mrs. White, if you will, please.
So formal. I just wanted to share first off is that I had so many. It's like under each circumstance, the Lord gives you different ones, but the one that just keeps coming back and coming back is in Philippians 1:6.
Philippians 1:6.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I claim that for myself as well as other people, that I'm not finished growing, and I just keep believing that he's not finished working in all of us that I'm praying for.
Amen. And he'll be at work in you until the day that you see Jesus. Amen. Someone over here. I saw somebody over here. Right there. Okay.
Like my husband, I have a short one. It's just, on the seventh day, God rested and was refreshed. And I want to say, especially to the women, we need to be rested and refreshed, and we don't need to feel guilty about it. Even God needed to rest.
Well, hey, ladies, that's shouting ground. And Midge, could the guys get in on that too? Oh, okay. Guys, that's shouting ground. Hallelujah.
Mine is Psalms 34:1-3.
And just a minute now.
Psalms 34:1-3.
Okay, give us a minute to find that.
Oftentimes when I'm going through things and the devil tries to discourage me, and this just really ministers to me, and it just reads, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to
you. You know, Lorna, if I could just speak to that passage just a moment. The thing I like about the Psalms, so many Christians think, well, I'll bless the Lord when things are really good, you know, when I really feel like blessing him, and when the anointing comes upon me, I'll bless him. But it's, I will bless the Lord. It's an act of our will. I will do it. I can decide to do it. I can decide not to do it. I will bless the Lord at all times. All right, here's one right here. I'm trying to go back and forth here.
Mine is,
don't take the microphone.
I have a lot of different ones.
Don't take the microphone.
Yes, give it to me.
Do not, Joyce, do not take the microphone. just hold it up there, right? Hold it right close to her mouth, Zachary. Get it right up close. That's
okay,
good.
It's 3 John.
There you go. 3 John. I warned you.
And...
3 John, and what verse?
Second.
Second verse.
Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And I just think that if my soul is prospering, I'm going to have health, and I'm going to be prosperous myself. Yes. Put God first, and all these things will be added.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
You did say passage.
Passage, okay. Yes. You can read a whole chapter if that's the passage. You just can't preach.
I'm not going to say anything because it's so long. Psalm 116.
Psalm 116.
This is the first scripture that I ever read the entirety of, and it meant something to me. And I read it the day after I got saved.
The first scripture that was ever alive for you, huh?
Yes, sir.
Psalm 116.
I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple, and I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, Mr. Friedel?
I'm not going to do like George Zachary. You're just going to have to stand close. In October of 1979 was when I surrendered my life to the Lord, and he really became real. And 1 week later, if you see me in my truck, or if I hand you a business card, you will always see Psalms 121.
121.
I will lift up mine eyes to the hill from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to be moved. I'm paraphrasing for Tommy, okay? He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade at my right hand. Bless God, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right, Mrs. Anita.
This is Psalms 19, 7 through 14. And when I'm feeling at my lowest, when I need a touch.
Go ahead.
Psalms 19, 7 through 14. When I'm feeling the lowest and when I'm needing a touch of the Lord, I always go back to these scriptures. And when I feel like I'm getting off on my own, in my own gospel, and I need to get back in his light, then I go to this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than a gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right, O.C.?
I have many favorite scriptures. However, John 3:16 always sticks out in my mind and my heart. And it reads,
John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'll read 17 also. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this verse just really blesses me so much. These verses, I should say, but particularly 16. To just think about the love of God is so strong and so powerful that he sent his Son for me.
Yes.
For me. That if I believe in him, I will not perish. I'll have everlasting life. Mm. And I do believe in the Lord. And I do have the assurance that I will have everlasting life. And I just give God all the praise,
amen,
all the honor, and all the glory.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, Martha.
This part of the psalm is, well, I'll say Psalm 16, verses 11. It reminds me of when I was reborn again. That's why I like it so much.
Psalm 16, did you say?
Psalm 16 down, the first would be, the last would be.
Starting at verse 3?
11.
Oh, starting at verse 11?
Yes.
Uh-huh, okay. Psalm 16, 11.
That's it. Uh-huh.
Okay. Read that for us.
It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In the presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for everyone. I like that very much.
I do too. That's one of my all-time favorites, Martha. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone over here? Here's one on the back row, Zachary. Right down the center aisle. There you go.
This particular verse became my favorite last week.
Okay. Okay. So this is a recent addition to the all-time hit list, huh? What is the reference?
This is out of Proverbs 11. You preached this last week, by the way. It's 11:24.
Proverbs 11.
24 and 25. And I just want to say a little bit before I read the proverb. Debbie and I had some decisions that we needed to make a week before last, before this camp came about. Mike and Jan needed someone to take care of their family, their kids while they were away, and we really wanted them to go. We were going to keep Gabe, and the other two were going to go up to North Carolina. Well, the North Carolina thing just didn't materialize. It was just one thing after another, it seemed like. And we just felt real uneasy about little Gabe. We love him. We love him so dearly, but we thought a week with this little baby away from his mama and his daddy, I don't know about that, honey. We both of us were real uneasy about that. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read the Proverbs, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watereth also himself. And I just want to read my notes to you, because this is really what hit home last week for me and Debbie. These two verses present a paradox that we become richer by being generous. The world says to hold on to as much as possible. But God blesses those who give freely of their possessions, their time, and their energy. When we give, God supplies us with more than that we can give. Oh, let me read that again. God supplies us with more so that we can give more. In addition, giving helps us gain a right perspective on our possessions. We realize that they were never really ours to begin with, but they were given to us by God and to be used to help others. What then do we gain by giving? Freedom from enslavement to our possessions, the joy of helping others, and God's approval. And when we read this last week, we immediately had to go to Mike and Jen and just share with them, not only did we want to keep little Gabe, but we wanted to keep their whole family. I took 4 days off of work. The Lord just made it available to where I could take some time off work. And not only did we got rid of three, first of all. Our three big ones, yeah. And we picked up seven, sometimes eight, you know, depending on what day it was and everything. So we had a total of, I think one day, 11 kids in our home. But it was just so peaceful, and the Lord just made it just a beautiful week. And little Gaby, he was wonderful. He was better than all of them. So I just thank the Lord for giving me this last week and helping to make our decision for us.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know what's so marvelous about that is that your willingness to give like that not only causes an increase to come into your life, but it caused an increase to come into Mike and Jan's life and ministry through this week. If you've talked to Jan since they've been back, this is just a marvelous week of just personal experience in the ministry for Jan. I can tell that just listening to her. And if you hadn't been willing to do that, she would not have been able to go.
I have a small business, and we haven't got any kind of tax money back or anything like that for about 3 years now. And we finally decided to go to an accountant to help us, because it was just it's a load for Debbie to have to try to take care of. And she decided just to go ahead and take our income taxes. This is the first time in about 3 years we've got anything back. So this is why they were gone. We found this out. We got back $1,900 from our taxes. And so I just look at it, that's the way God blessed us back.
The liberal soul shall be made fat. Amen. Looking after the stuff, that's right. Okay, we've got one over here. Zachary, why don't you take that one, Mr. Schallenberger, while you're right there in the center aisle.
You'll have to give me chapter and verse, Pastor, but the thing that blesses me, and I just, while they were sharing, not only Debbie and Randy, but them particularly today, because as I watch their lives, and it's the Lord in their lives, they have always been givers. I mean, they're involved in everything going on around here. But it doesn't surprise me at all that the blessings overtake them, and I wonder sometimes how they can keep their joy. But the scripture is, it's more blessed to give than receive. And I know that's so true. And not only for them, but many others around here that do that. Always giving of themselves. You don't know how many lives you touch that you never hear about. They're dealing with other things that say, man, I got to be more like that. But I know that's the Spirit of the Lord working in you, but it touches a lot of lives. I praise God for both of you. Yeah, I really do.
All right, anyone over here? Oh, here's one. Yeah, there you go, Zachary. Thank you.
This is my favorite verse, but when you mention it, it just left me. So I had to look it up in my concordance. I just remember parts of it, And I know it's so good, but I couldn't even find it. So I said, Lord, just bring it back. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2.
Isaiah 61, 1 and 2.
Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent to me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. This blesses me because God not only allows me to know why he saved me for me, but he reminds me that he saved me for other people as well.
All right, here's one over here.
In lieu of reading all of Paul's epistles, I just want to share with you, which are all my favorites, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. These particular verses have, in recent years, have become very meaningful in my life, especially verse 2 is a favorite. Let me read from the beginning. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone over here? Don? You'll have to stretch out there, Zachary.
I will go sit down. It's Matthew 11, 28. Through the end of it, and then jump over to Philippians 4 through 7.
Sounds like a message in the brewing there. Matthew 11, 28?
Right.
And what was the second one?
Philippians 4, starting at 4.
Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. Okay.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I've got it referenced at that point over to Philippians 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, and in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Christ Jesus.
Yeah. So when we begin to feel weighted down with something, there's something we're not doing, hey? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a fresh one here. I'll come back to you, Chris, if we don't have any others. Okay, Zachary.
This is in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14.
Deuteronomy. Does anybody know what Deuteronomy means? The second telling.
Just a little bit about this verse. The Lord gave me this verse a couple of years ago after I graduated from high school, and I was seeking the Lord about what He wanted me to do with my life and what true success meant. Because as I was sitting in the actual ceremony, the words that they kept using were success. Success was like the foundation of what graduation meant. And that was kind of embedded in me. And so as I was seeking the Lord about what true success meant, He brought this passage of scripture to me. I was only gonna read the first two verses, which really sums it up, but I think the Lord wants me to do the whole 14, because it shows what, if you do the first two verses, what happens, what is the end result of that. So Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, and if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. The Lord will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beast, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain in your land in its seasons, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only be above, and you shall not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the left or to the right, to go after gods to serve them. And what the Lord showed me was, he brought one particular person in my life who was a prime example of that, and that was my dad. And a lot of y'all talk about how wonderful it is to see him work as diligently and as hard as he does here. It is personified 1,000 times when you live with him. I've always struggled when I got older to find the perfect gift for him. And there's just nothing you can do. There's no card you can write. There's no gift you can buy. You can't buy this man enough tractors. That's all I can say. There's not that many tractors in the world that you could buy to show you how much you really appreciate just by leading by example. And that's one thing that this passage meant to me is that true success comes from keeping the commandments of the Lord. And when I looked and found that I didn't have to go too far to find the perfect example of that, it made me come closer to him and to see that even in my own church family here, that there's people that this passage relates to and relates to everyone. But most importantly, it relates to me and my dad.
Amen. Let me speak a word into your life that I think your dad would amen. The thing that would bless your dad the most is not a tractor or a card, but that you live your life as a man of God. That you fulfill the calling of God upon your life, that you find out what that is and be faithful to do it, and you will fill your dad's life with the blessings of God. That is the most important thing you can do for him. I'm Eugene Rogers.
I just knew that somebody would already get this one because I know it's everybody's favorite. I just knew that when you said that. Somebody else will get it. But this is Joshua 1:7. And I think that this means so much to me because we know that the Old Testament is for our example, and we can see how what God said to Joshua and what God did for him and how he gave him such success. And then I think that as an early Christian, I came across this and it meant so much to me, and it gave me a choice to do like Joshua did, to choose God and to serve him, to learn about his word. And to me, anything that comes up, you know, if there's question, well, is this really the good thing to do or the not good thing to do? If there's something in the Word about it, then I know the right way without any question. So this is Joshua 1:7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. I'll read 8 too. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Mm-hmm. That you and Zach Rogers make a duet this morning, don't you? Huh? Here's over here, Travis, Judy Sleek.
Romans 8:31, and I'm going to skip around to the end of Romans 8. In my Bible, this section is entitled God's Everlasting Love.
Romans 8, starting at what verse?
Verse 31b. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's awesome, isn't it? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Skipping to 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. That's my favorite.
These are all my favorites. But if I'd read them all, you'd have been bored if I was reading. All the way, Zachary, come down this way, son. Go all the way to the back, last row, and find that pretty lady back there with a lace white collar. Myra.
This goes along with what she was sharing, and when I first got saved, the Lord gave me this because things would come against me, and I would say, well, God, I've just given my life to you. Why? And I learned not to say why, but what, Lord? It says, for all things are for your sake.
Whoa, wait a minute. Where are you?
In 2 Corinthians 4:15 through 18.
2 Corinthians 4.
15 through 18.
15 through 18. Okay, give us just a minute. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Okay.
For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And this is really what sustained me. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Mm.
Did you read in the 15th verse, for all things? Oh, yes, okay. Good. All right. One right over here, Travis.
Lamentations 3:21-24.
Are you going to sing it?
No.
Lamentations 3. Now you find Lamentations between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, if you're hunting.
This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. My favorite is the 23rd verse. And men will fail us, and organizations will fail us, and governments will fail us, But God never fails us. His mercies are new for us every day, and He is faithful.
Amen. Amen. Great is His faithfulness, you read.
Mine is 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. The reason it's special, in 76, I was looking at 10 years in prison, and that's tough. And I don't know how I got the verse, but he gave it to me. And there probably wasn't many days that in that whole year, I was on probation for a year. And I was kind of like Tommy over here. This verse, it wasn't the whole verse, it was down where I, but I'll read the whole verse. But where it starts, for I know, that whole verse was written in here. And I knew that it was true when I went before the judge and it was thrown out. So here's the scripture. And of course, I felt like I'd been through more than Paul had been through, but you know, we know that's not true. And I know this verse, you know, was given us for that special reason, because Paul did suffer. And it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." And then this is what was memorized in my heart. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And that's here today, and I'm sure that when I die, it'll still be there.
Amen. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. The word persuaded is not the best translation there. Convinced would be a better translation, or fully persuaded. I know that's what you're expressing too. I am fully persuaded. I'm absolutely certain. I'm totally and completely convinced. Amen. We'll take a couple more if we have them. Anybody else over in here? Phyllis?
Kind of like I'm a genie. I thought surely everybody would say that, so that I can hardly stand for us to stop.
This has been my favorite verse since I was a little girl, and all during the years I've got other favorite verses that go along. But
just a moment right there. You were saved when you were how old?
Four.
4 years old. For those of you moms and dads who have little children and you're introducing them to Christ at an early age, this is what they turn into.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I hope many of them will turn into much better. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
Amen. We are running you ragged today, son, aren't we? Now I know why the Lord put you on this job. We needed somebody with young legs.
I think about this a lot of time when I'm down at the mill and beating my head against the wall because something's not going like it should. And it says,
what's the
reference?
It's
the Isaiah 40, 29, 30, and 31.
Okay, let us find that. Isaiah 40,
29, 30, and 31.
Okay. Isaiah 40, the last three verses.
Mm-hmm. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that waiteth upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not fall." Faith.
Does it strike you as fascinating that the Lord would use so many different passages to touch so many different lives in special ways? You wonder why we have the whole book? Because we need the whole book. Because God has a family that is broad of experience and broad of need. And how the Lord will use one verse or one passage to affect a person's life, to touch a person's life in a special way. Joan?
I was going to say all Psalms 119 to see what you'd do, but I decided it wasn't the time to joke.
Well, do you know what I was going to do today? If nobody had any verses, you were going to get Psalm 119 from the pastor, the whole enchilada.
2 Timothy 2.
2 Timothy 2.
Verses 1 through 4.
First four verses.
Lord gave me this scripture when we were over at EMC, and I had no idea how it was going to apply to my life, but it's personally encouraged me.
Therefore, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier.
Stephanie?
Unlike many of you, I have many favorite ones, but I'm going to read from Philippians 4, verses 8, 9, and 13.
Philippians 4,
verses 8, 9, and 13. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
His strength, not ours. Amen. Yes, Miriam?
This is Isaiah 55, 2.
Isaiah 55, verse 2.
This is what the Lord's been keeps telling me over and over the last few weeks, is just listen to him, to learn from him. I start in the middle of verse 2. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, eating of his word. Delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear to me. Listen that you may live.
Mm. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. There's life in his word.
I'd like to read the 23rd Psalm. This is a favorite for me and just says it all. The Lord is my shepherd. Am I waiting on you to find it there, buddy?
Just a moment, yes. I think everybody probably wants to recite it with you.
I think this is one of the first scriptures or chapters in the Bible that I learned by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of his righteousness, path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Okay, men, if you will return the microphones to their stands. And perhaps you turn with me to the first chapter of the book of John, John's Gospel. As we're sharing the word this morning, the something that comes to me just now about what we're sharing are these several verses from the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Whether you know it or not, what we've been doing this morning is we've been sharing Jesus with one another. For Jesus is the Word of God in living form. Jesus is the Word of God expressed in life. Jesus is the fulfilling of all of the Word of God. When you meet Jesus, you meet all of his Word. All of the things that we've shared here today all find their expression in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he is so precious to us. That is why his Word is so precious to us, because you can't separate the Word of God from the person of God. The Word of God is the Lord Jesus written. Jesus is the Word lived, expressed. And when you pick up the Word and you read it, and it touches your life and it blesses your life, that's Jesus reaching his life into yours. when you meet him in prayer or in fellowship or in communion, that is the Word of God made alive to touch your life. The Word of God made flesh. Let's find a hymnal, please, and turn to 227.